Okay, good evening, everyone. So last week we had discussed the halachas governing a situation where a person is offered a opportunity to pay to buy something on credit. Right? Under what circumstances you're allowed to pay more for credit? The basic halacha being that a store can't have like a two-tier pricing, that if you pay now, it's a cheaper price, and if you take the item now and pay for it later, you'll pay more, because that is a form of ribbis the rabbanan, since you're supposed to pay for an item typically when you receive it, and by not paying it you're taking a loan. The store owner, the merchant, the one who's selling it to you, is giving you a loan, extending you a loan by allowing you to take the item without paying for it. So that presents a problem of ribbis, and we learned the different circumstances. There are cases where it's mutter, and for example, if it's not clear that there are two prices, there's no set price, or there's no advertised price, there's no marked price, and he when you ask to buy it on credit, so he tells you a price, which is the only price he offers you, so that's mutter. Okay, now what we want to discuss tonight is the opposite type of situation, where you want to... situation is, under what circumstances may you possibly pay for something in advance and get a discount? So here it's really, this was brought up last week, but this is the opposite case, meaning you're not receiving the item now, whether it's an item or whether it's a service, you're not receiving it now, so technically you shouldn't have to pay now. You pay for something when you get it. You pay for a service when you receive the service. You pay for an item when you receive the item. But and therefore, if the service provider or the seller tells you, look, pay me now, and I'll give you a discount. So that in its raw form is also a problem of ribbis. Here, the ribbis is the reverse. Instead of the storekeeper lending you money, you're lending him money, because you're actually taking money out of your pocket, and giving him the money now, and he's not giving you the item until sometime late in the future. So that presents another shaila of ribbis derabbanan. Again, it's only ribbis derabbanan because it's derech mekach u'memkar. It's not a straight out loan. It's a loan which comes about as a result of a sale. So the Shulchan Aruch says, again, the same siman kuf ayin gimel is in siv zayin. Im kona davar sheshava yud beis biyud. If you're buying something which is worth 12 zehuvim biyud, you're buying it for 10 bishvil shemakdim amos, because you're giving the money in advance. So there are times that it's going to be mutter and times that it's going to be usr. So one case that is mutter, says the Shulchan Aruch, im yesh na b'shus mocher. If the mocher has it, he has the item now. It's not a question that he's only offering to give it to you later because he doesn't have it. He has to first buy it himself or create it or whatever. He has it. But he's not selling to you now. He's not giving to you now. But you want to pay for it, so then you're allowed to. Even if he can't physically access it right away, he has to wait for somebody to come to help him access it. Till he finds the key to mutter, that you're allowed to do, as long as it's b'rshusav. But if it's not, then it's usr. So this is one head that would be, it's called yeshlo. He has the merchandise. And what it means here, though, is he has the full amount of what he's selling you. We learned a few weeks back that about the isser to sabasat, the isser to lend an item or commodity in order to be paid back with the same item, same commodity. We said you're not allowed to do that sabasat, since there could be a price change. But there, one of the heterim was yeshlo. If I want to borrow a certain type of food item from a friend or neighbor, whatever it is, and I have some, even if I had just a little bit, I want to borrow a 5 pounds of sugar. I have a cup of sugar. I'm allowed to borrow 5 pounds of sugar because we said over there it's ki'ilu the amount, the sugar I have is nikna to him in a sense that it's paid back, and even a small amount could be go back and forth and considered to be a payment for the whole thing. Here, it has to be that he has to have the full amount. When you're giving him, you're paying for it now, and you're paying a reduced rate because you're giving the money up front. He's not giving the item now. He has to have the full amount. If you're buying, 50 pounds of a certain produce, he's got to have 50 pounds of that produce, and it has to be what you ordered. It can't be has something similar, but it's a, you know, a different kind of fruit or a different quality. It has to be basically the item you, the item or the type of item you want. So let's say you go to an appliance store, and you want to you're in the market for a refrigerator, so and you want he has one refrigerator of the type you want. The brand, the model with the features that you want, and there are a lot of differences in between one appliance and another. Besides the make, the models vary quite a bit. So he has to have, in order to be able to pay now without getting delivery immediately, but just to put the money down now and get a discount, he has to have the refrigerator he wants. Now, even if he only has one, he could still make this deal with five people. In other words, as I said, he can't have, if you're buying from his five refrigerators or two refrigerators, he has to have two refrigerators. You can't get a discount on two refrigerators when he only has one. But five different people can get the same discount as long if they're all buying the exact same refrigerator. That's called yeshlo, because we look with klapei each one, with respect to each customer. Theoretically, he could use it for anyone, even though he already, in a sense, maybe committed it to the first one, because the first person who already bought it yesterday, and he told him he's going to deliver it by in a week from now, and he knows if he's going to sell the same refrigerator to me now, he's not going to really be able to, or at least it's not, he's most likely not going to use the one that he has in stock to deliver to me, because then he won't have one in time for, he won't meet the deadline he had to the first customer. But that's okay, because theoretically he could switch that and he could really deliver it to me and figure out an eitzah with the other person. So as long as he has the full amount that I'm buying, then I could buy from him, he could sell to me, and as I said, same way with each customer. But if he's short, if he doesn't have the full amount for a specific customer, then this heter does not apply, this heter of yeshlo.
So if I have a company, I can really wholesale, and I'm going to do a pre-sale, you know, I get all my customers, I see them at the table, I show them merchandise that it's not already produced. It's not, and if they buy now, they get like 20% off. It's not bueno.
But he's saying it's not... It's,
I haven't made it, you know, I'm going to, based upon what I sell, it's what I buy.
Right,
and because of that, I give them a better
right.
price.
So it depends. Sometimes it depends on how many malachas are lacking, how far it is, how far away from production. But let's assume that it's, you know, completely
raw,
far away. It's
yeah
raw material. So then this would not be a heter. We'll see if we can come up find you another heter. We're not done yet. But the heter of yeshlo would not apply if all you have is you have the trees and you want to sell them a shtender.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So
what exactly is a svara of yeshlo that takes out of being loose?
Because the svara is that once you take the money from the person and you have the thing, so then this chal, what's called a mishapara, meaning he doesn't own it yet, but he can't back out. Once he takes your money, he can't back out of the deal unless without receiving a kola. Gemara says mishapara mayan shidar mabel denshar flaga. Well, Hashem will. Who took revenge from them will take revenge from anybody who doesn't stand behind his word. That applies only if you take money. If you stop and give a person your word, you're not allowed. You're also not supposed to back out. It's what's called mechus ramana, but it's not mishapara. So once it's a level of mishapara, even though it's not a full kinyan, it's enough of a kinyan for this. Since we're dealing with a din derabanan here, so this is enough of a kinyan. The buyer has enough of a kinyan already that it's not considered. We don't look at it as a loan. We consider it's practically his. He didn't actually receive it, but he already has a strong connection to it. Since the person owns it and promised it to him and took his money, so Bimela, since that creates a Mishapara, that's enough of a connection.
Is earlier bird specials were not
on? Okay, we're going to get to earlier bird specials in terms of services and schools and things like that, right?
Okay, but here it's like early bird specials, like I have a product.
Right, that's what we're saying so far, right.
Okay, so what's in Lumdus, why is this considered a discount? Maybe this is the regular price and then it goes up. Meaning why?
Well, okay, so the next point is if it's the type of thing where there is no set price, mm-hmm. then in Echanami, it's what's called no shar yadua.
Okay.
We're talking about things, and this is the next point, so we have things where there is a clear market price. Everybody knows you walk into the store and you pay now and you walk out with it, this is what you're going to pay.
Right, so in his case, if it's like a new product, wouldn't be an issue because
right. Okay. So that's what I told you, we might have some other hater for it. Right. So it's okay. So that's the second level hater is where it's ain lo shar yadua. It's the type of thing that that fluctuates greatly from, you know, from piece to piece. It can fluctuate. Like a type of thing which is made special, a specialty item which everyone is unique, or just the type of thing where the prices fluctuate greatly. Where you, if you walk into the store, as long as the person doesn't tell you then that, you know, you pay me today, I'll give you this. I really, this is my price, but if you want, if you give me the money today, I'll give it to you for less. If he says that, then that doesn't work. Then he's clearly telling you that he's giving you a discount. Lend me the money. He's basically, lend me the money and I'll make it worth it for you. But if he doesn't say that and it doesn't have a clear, defined price, then it is okay to do that. Examples they give, like for certain types of jewelry or Sefer Torah, Pirat Tefillin, things like this, which the prices vary very greatly, or something which, as I said, somebody, if a person is ordering, he goes to a carpenter and he wants him to make him a piece of furniture, where the price could vary depending on the detail, depending on the various, how, you know, what quality wood he wants him to use, and there's so many different factors that you can't, there's no shahr for the specific thing he's buying. So then chenami, then you are allowed to do that. But the Poskim say it has to be that there's no shahr, not now and not at the time that you, by the time you deliver it, by the time he's going to pick it up. Also, it has to be that it's not like something that there is going to be a price, but like on January 1st, they're going to come out, the price of this item is going to be set at something, and he's first going to receive delivery January 10th. So then it's not mutter. It's only mutter if there's no shahr yadua now, and even at the time of delivery, even at that point, the price will be something which is variable, flexible, and not a kavua d'ika price. Now, so legabe this nekuda also, it still says though, by this case, you can't be mozel harbe. You can't reduce it so significantly that it's obvious, even without a shahr yadua, but everybody looks as, what, that's all he charged you for? That doesn't make sense. He says, well, I don't know, I gave him the money. Oh, you gave him the money, okay, I understand. It can't be that type of, it can't be an amount which raises eyebrows. How can he charge so little? Because then it becomes obvious also, even if there is no shahr yadua, it becomes obvious. So what is that amount? So I saw in the Sefer Mishnas Ribbis, he says, regarding last week's discussion, where we said also that last week's discussion was, again, to pay later, get it, take it now, and pay later. So there we said also, the thing doesn't have a set price, if there's no, you know, the price isn't determined, like I mentioned a few minutes ago also, you can offer the person a credit, offer him to pay on credit, and charge him more when it's not been stated that it's more, but it can't be there too. It can't be an amount that's clearly more. So over there, some say that's it's called a chomish, 20%. You can't charge up, like 20% would be the cap, or you know, up to 20% more. Once it's 20% or beyond that, it becomes nicker. So the Mishnah's Ribbis wants to say here it could be it's even more than 20%, because giving a discount, there are so many reasons why a person might want to give it a discount. He may be an item that he really wants to get rid of, or it may be any, you know, other factors that go into why a person might be willing to sell something at a reduced price. Maybe he's, you know, it's a friend of his, this and that. So he wants to suggest that it could be 20% is not even the cutoff point here. There is a cutoff point. It has to be. It can't be an amount where, like I said, where it'll be quite obvious to everyone. But at least in his opinion, is lav davka that's chomesh, and it probably would depend also on the size of the item. If it's, you know, a very small item, a cheap item, and you give off a, you give the guy a 20% discount, then that there is something, you know, nicker to, probably people would suspect. And the idea behind all this is that, because again, it's ribbis to rabbanan, and it's a problem. The problem here it mostly is that, essentially, it's a problem that it appears like ribbis. It's michzik ribbis. It appears like ribbis when you do this. So as long as the appearance isn't there, it's going to be mutter. Okay. Now, so now let's talk about what's very common: the child of paying for, like subscriptions, a subscription to a newspaper or a magazine or these types of things, or paying up front to register in some sort of school or camp or things like that. There are a lot of different cases spoken about, and they all have to be analyzed based on these halachas, because on the surface, if you if the price of the magazine, the magazine is published weekly, and they charge whatever they charge, $2 for the magazine per week, and they offer a subscription, and it ends up if you buy a subscription for a year, you get a year's worth of issues. That you break it down, it comes out it's not $2 an issue, it's like $1.70 an issue or whatever it may be. So you got a discount. You subscribe means you have to pay up front, and then you get a reduced rate. So is that mutter or not? So it's a very big discussion in Poskim, and they look, though, many, all the Svarim look for different possibilities, different study heter. So the main study here, it's not Yeshlo, right? He doesn't have next week's thing, or he might actually have next week's, but he certainly doesn't have the magazine for next month. If he does, you don't want it. you want a magazine or a newspaper. A lot of it is current. Maybe there are some things that aren't. Maybe there are some types of publication that have nothing to do with current events. But a publication that does involve current events, which obviously can't be published very far in advance. So there's no Yeshlo. The guy doesn't have it. So that doesn't exist. And there is a Shar Yadua. Not only is there a Shar Yadua, but it's very clear that the newsstand price is X, or the weekly. If you go into the Jewish grocery store and buy it there, it says on the thing what it costs. It says $2, and you're getting it $1.70 because per issue, because you bought in advance. So neither of those heterim exist. But the Svarim say, well, there are a lot of reasons why a publisher of a magazine would want to have subscriptions, other than to have the money and have your money in advance, so he could, like, quote unquote, borrow your money. One reason is simply they want to commit you, right? They want you to commit yourself to a year's worth of magazines. If you buy week by week, you can decide 1 week that you don't want it. You can decide after 1 month that you're not really interested in this magazine. You can stop buying it altogether. You can buy a subscription for a year and you pay for a year. So then, you know, that's it. It's paid up front, unless you find it to be completely offensive or something and you put up a whole fight to get your money back. Otherwise, that's it. You bought it for a year. So that's one simple reason. Even if theoretically they wouldn't get your money physically, or they wouldn't be able to use your money, even if your money would be put into escrow, something, but they could only draw on it, you know, $1.70 per week, it would still be worth it for them because you are committed to pay, you know, to buy the magazine, to pay for it each week.
Is it for everything?
Oh, it's for a lot of the things. That's well,
anything I sell.
No, because if
essentially
you're taking it now anyway. Right? I mean, nothing. Sorry, nothing. Sorry, but, yeah. What is it?
Okay, well, why do we have to start? Most of the newspaper subscriptions, the newspapers are distributed to subscribers, I assume. Meaning, it's a minority of people that buy a newsstand every week.
Okay,
so,
but this.
So that means that the Iker price is bad. Is really the Iker price is the person who's subscribing. The newsstand is a markup.
No, but that's not true, because in halacha you don't owe for an item before you get it. The din is when you receive a shipment of the item, that's when you owe the money for it. You don't owe for something that doesn't even exist, and you're going to get it in 6 months from now. So you can't. The fact that most people do it this way doesn't make it that's the price. The price of an item is what it costs to walk in and walk home with it. Everything else is a discount. The only question is why. I think that's the answer to your question, because a price in halach is determined by what you pay when you walk home with it, not what you pay, you know, in advance. So that's one of the svaras. Another svara is also it's easier for them to have the money in advance, not to have to process and receive. They'd rather if everybody would pay once a year, they could take all of their billing and bookkeeping and everything once a year, and not have to do it over a long time. And also, it helps things like magazines and newspapers, which rely on advertisements, so they could show their advertiser, you know, their potential advertisers, look, we have, you know, 2,000 subscriptions just from the South Florida, and so somebody from South Florida is going to want to, oh yeah, somebody has a business in South Florida is going to want to advertise in that publication because look how many copies he's selling. Whereas if he only sells it per week, and you know, it's not the same thing. So all these are svaras why it's worth it for them to give it to you cheaper. Nothing to do with the fact that they're getting your money. They could use their money, even if theoretically, even if they couldn't use their money. Now it's not practical for them to say, you know, give me a post-dated check. Besides, nobody, most people don't work with checks anymore, but even if you did work with a check, they can't deal that way because who knows if it's gonna, the check's going to be good. They have to make sure. They don't want to, you know, lose out either. But it's the main svara is very, is could be understood as not being to have your money, to have the cash, to have the cash in advance because of these svaras. So these are suggestions why there are poskim that do allow this subscriptions. I mean, I think it's the minhag olam to subscribe even to Jewish. This obviously is only by, you know, Jew to Jew. If you're buying the Wall Street Journal or whatever as a, you know, a non-Jewish publication, there's no shayla because there's no issur ribbis between Jew and a non-Jew. But we're talking about Jewish publications or publications owned by Jews. And another svara that we could bring in that's going to again apply in all the cases that we're talking about is the. I may have mentioned it once before, but there's a Rav Moshe Feinstein Zal writes in the Igros Moshe very clearly in a couple of tshuvas that whenever whenever you're to lend money to a corporation, an LLC or any, you know, limit any corporation where there's no personal achrayus, no liability on any individual. There's only liability on the corporation, but the individuals, the people who make up, comprise the corporation could be as wealthy as anything. But the corporation doesn't have money, can't pay back. Then they don't owe it to you. If the corporation is broke, then you lose your money. So then Rav Moshe says there's no issur ribbis. You're allowed to, even if it's a Jewish corporation, it's made out of two Jews, but they or even one Jew. But he creates a corporate entity, which is legally incorporated, to the extent that when you lend him the money, you know very well that this guy could drive three Mercedes and have summer homes in every state in the country, but his corporation went bankrupt and he doesn't have to pay you. So then you're allowed to lend the money beribis. Why? Because the definition of a lovis, as Ramesh, is somebody where there's a shibut haguf. Like if you ever listen to a ksuba, next time you go to Chasna, where it talks about the shibut to pay the ksuba, it says afilu miklim adal kaspai. Even from the chassan saying to his wife, I'm a shabbat myself to pay you this money if, you know, chalila, whatever, if it ever comes up, from me and all my property, even the shirt off my back. That's a feeling gleam with al kaspai. It's a personal shibud on the, that's a lova. A lova is somebody who's personally mishabbat himself. When there's no personal shibud, there's only a shibud on some sort of corporate entity. Even if in Torah, there's a whole discussion in poskim where, if and where the corporate entity exists in halacha. Say that again. It's lending to a goyim, not even a non-Jew. Right. It's a goyim. That's I think Rav Sternbach uses that lashon.
Golam.
Like a fake, you know, non-real, not a non-human, a non-human entity. I think Rav Sternbach uses that. He talks about it. One thing is the gabi chametz for Pesach. The lot I think we mentioned this at the very beginning.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Okay.
Like
it's the second shoot. Okay. Right. So Rav Moshe holds like this. Now there are a lot of chalukim. I think we said that maybe we'll get to point discuss the chalukim. Some hold it's aser midoraisa, even some hold it's midorabanan. But Rav Moshe held this klar in the tshuvas, and then Rav Moshe Talmidim will, you know, tell you this klar. It's not just like something somebody thinks they once heard him say, on passing. No, this is very klar, and it's so the svarim, even those who don't embrace it, b'shtei yadayim, but they mitzdarif it for different situations. So a situation like this, probably many of these cases, I imagine, probably the publishers of the magazine, probably it's a corporation.
Corporation is an LLC?
Yes. The point is, I'm not sure if those are the only initials that work. The point is, it has to be that there's no liability on any person. There's no person that's liable. Is just a court? There's an entity. This entity that's like, even if the entity is comprised of Jews, but it's a separate and apart from their own personal assets. Okay. So these are some of the svaras for some of the material in that case. Another situation would be. Let's talk about schools. To pay schools or camps, what they call early bird specials. That's where that term is always used. Can you pay in advance and get a discount for some service like that? So some of these same svaras might apply that they want to have, you know, they want to lock you in to make sure they have enough campers to fill their something. I mean, once upon a time it was that way. I think now it's the other way. Most of the popular camps, they're not trying to lock you in. You're doing everything desperately to get your child into the camp. In many cases. But so some of the same svaras might apply, but there's another possible svara, and that is like this. When it comes to hiring a worker to hiring somebody, where theoretically you could have the same issue that, let's say, you want to hire somebody to do, well, let's talk about a direct case of hiring before we go back to the kids. Let's say a child needs services an orthodontist, and the orthodontist is going to have to work on them for the next year. They're going to have monthly visits, or maybe semi-monthly visits, whatever, to the orthodontist for a year. And his price is, there's one price if you pay it out over the year. If you pay him up front, discount. He's willing to give you a significant discount if you pay it up front. So are you allowed to do that? So there is a heter there when you're paying a worker, such as a kablon. There's a heter if, number one, either he starts the work right away, even if he's not doing all the work now, he's doing the work over the course of the year. But as long as there's haschalas malacha, then you're allowed to pay. B'shas haschalas malacha, you're allowed to pay the full amount and receive a discount for it. That is what to do, even if it is spoken out. This is not just the case, like we said before, that it has to be that, not shar yiduo, and it's not clear that it's, even if it's clearly a discount, but you're allowed to do that as long as he begins the malacha right now. So if you pay him by the first visit, when you go for the first visit, you pay him then for the entire tipul, for the entire, year's worth of visits, then that would be mutter to do. Or another heter is, which many say, if you make a kinyan with him, make a kinyan that binds him and obligates him to provide the service in a way that he can't back out, he can't retract. Now, that, first of all, that only works la halacha by a kablan, not a poel. This touches on a whole other area of halacha, but there's a big discussion in halacha. If you hire a poel, what's a poel? A poel is like... defined as a day worker. It means somebody who's works by, either you pay him by the hour, or perhaps even pay him by the hour, but his job is defined by hours. It's not like he has a job to do, and whenever he gets it done, let's say just within the next 6 months, get this work done. No, you're hiring like a teacher. You're hiring a teacher not to say, okay, between now and June, make sure the kids learn all these lessons, and you take care of, you figure out the hours. No, that's not the way you hire a teacher. I mean, a school doesn't. Maybe a private individual might hire a tutor that way. Maybe, but when you hire a teacher, when a school hires a teacher, they say you have to be here from 9 to 5 or whatever your particular hours are. You don't set the hours. We tell you when you have to come. So that's not called a cop. That's called a poel, or at least, according to many definitions. Certainly, if the person's paid hourly, then he's a poel. Now, the din is poel yotze b'chatzi hayom. A poel can walk out on you if he wants to. You hire a poel, even if you make up with him that he's going to work for the next day, next whatever it is, he could walk out. Why? Because it says li b'nei Yisrael avadim. You can't become an eved to another eved, to another person. If you commit yourself to certain hours and said that that's considered a form of avdus, and you could walk out. Now, whereas he's backing out. Yes, a poel is allowed to back out.
Then if they shook hands and they...
I'm sorry? Well, so one second. So the simple case that poel could back out is when there's no kinyan was made. You didn't make a kinyan with the poel, but he didn't sign a contract. For example, you hired a guy to do work for you, but you didn't sign a contract, and he's doing it b'toras poel. So then a poel could be chosen. Now there are halachas, but not, maybe that's hopefully a topic for a different time. That's not all halachas now of poel, but some say a poel can only back out if he's going to another job, if he's not going to another job. If he just, I don't want to work anymore, that's it. But if he's going to another job, he's going to be an eved to the next guy. So what's the difference? But Lamaisa, halacha lamaisa, even if he backs out for another job, you would not be able to be mechayiv and based to come back. And even though now many say if you do make a kinyan with him or sign a shtar or maybe a handshake, perhaps if you make a kinyan, many say that he's not allowed to back out, but it's a machlokas poskim. And again, if he did back out, it's not at all pasha that you'd be able to force him to come back. So memela, when it comes to hilchas ribis, a kinyan with a poel is not enough for this discount. In other words, the poel cannot offer you a discount to pay up front, since even if you make a kinyan with him, he's really not fully committed. And there are halachic loopholes, way that he could pull out, even if it's not l'chala deis, but there are enough deis that he could back out on you. He's not committed, and therefore, legabi ribis with machmir, that a kinyan wouldn't work. The only thing that would work would be haschalas malacha. But by a kablan, A cobbler is defined as a guy who, the guy cobbler is, he's going to paint your house. He's not, you're not hiring him to come at specific hours. You're hiring him to get the job done or to build you a house. Build you a house. Halavai, you can give him a specific, you know, deadline. It has to be done by that time. A cobbler, you know, he's got to get put up the house. Yeah, even if you give a deadline, but it's not, there's no specific hours. He just has to get the work done between now and then. So a cobbler is not allowed to back out. There's no, the din is only poel chozer b'chatzi. I'm not kablan. Memela by a kablan, once you made a kinyan. Once you made a kinyan with him, he's committed. So by kablan can give you a discount. So the orthodontist, who's a kablan, you make up each time, you know, when you want the next appointment. But you're not hiring up front that he has to work for you specific hours. You set the appointment. Well, it's convenient for you, each of you. He's a kablan, and you're not paying him by the hour. You're paying him for the job. So if you make a kinyan with the kablan, or, as I said, haschalas malacha, you could pay up front. Okay, so that's true by that case. So now let's go back to the school.
20% only?
Excuse me?
More than 20%.
Yeah, I don't think, no, even more. Because 20% or whatever number, that was only where it had to be, that's not nicker. Here it could be mefurish. He could tell you, pay me by the month and it's going to end up costing you $5,000 for the job. Pay me now and I'll give it to you for $3,000. He could tell you that mefurish. So it doesn't make them 20% or more, because he even said it before. Okay, so getting back to the schools, so one of the svarim brings down for Rabbi Eliashiv that he said by schools that's the same thing. You're hiring who the Rosh HaMosad, the head of the school, head of school, to do everything it takes to educate your child over the course of the upcoming school year. Now it's December, I'm hiring him that from this come September to educate my child between September and June. But you know that he's a cobbler. He's not. I'm not setting the hour. He sets the hours of school. I'm not hiring him to come specific hours. So he has the din of a cobbler. So they bring from Rabbi Yashiv. One of the sermon brings from Rabbi Yashiv that's mutter. That's mutter to do as long as this.
You would have to pay at the beginning of the school year.
Oh, okay. So we shall, because they're saying haschalas malacha, right? Yeah. So they say that no, we're obviously not talking about that. We're talking about not obviously. We're talking about even you pay in advance. So they say even haschalas there. Most likely, very likely, things that they have to do already long in advance. To say they have to look, they might know, you know, we needed the math teacher or whatever, or the sixth grade Rebbe is leaving at the end of this year. So we're already looking around. We're already working to find a Rebbe, or maybe we expect you know the fifth grade is much bigger than this year's sixth grade. So we're gonna have to open a new class in sixth grade. So we're already looking for a new Rebbe. We might even be looking for a new classroom space or desks. So they're doing work very likely even now. Now, you know, long in advance, they're doing work already. So when you hire him, when you pay him, you're hiring him. It is haschalas malacha. That's what they explain it. So that's one side hetlis as is brought down. Now many take issue with this because there's a big shiloh whether it works by a kablan if he's not the one doing all the work. In other words, if I hire a painter and he's doing the job himself, that's where it's mutter. Or excuse me, the orthodontist, I don't expect to come in one day and he says he's not here today, but he sent his son is in dental school, so he's going to do today's session. You're going to turn around and go home. You're hiring him to do the work, not hiring anybody, not hiring him to provide someone else to do the work. By the school, that's not, whoever the him is, you're not hiring one person. You're hiring, or you're not hiring one person to do all the work. You may be, there may be one person, whether it's a school administrator, whoever it is, that's responsible, has to answer to you, but it's his job to provide a Rebbe and to provide the classrooms, and but part of it is to, you know, to provide all the workers in the school. So when it's a person hiring other people, many say that doesn't apply. The heter is only when he's doing the work for you.
Why?
What would be the reason for that? Probably because if he's not doing the work, there's no full commitment. Like he could something that he has to do, so you could hold him to it. You have to pay my house. He said, I don't want to. I mean, whatever. You're mechuyev to get the work done. Here, if it's totally on and getting other people, it's always possible to push it off. It says we couldn't find the Rebbe, or you know, we try. We have advertisements in every Jewish publication around the country, and etc. It could be it's easier to get out of it. He is, but maybe a contractor.
Maybe I couldn't find workers.
It wouldn't. Well, but the question is, how would you have a if he really could? I mean, something like that. They're always, you know, you t- typically the highest people you can get. You can't necessarily, I don't want the principal just to hire anybody who's applying for the sixth grade Rebbe job. I want my sixth grader to have, you know, a competent Rebbe. So he could say, like, we tried very hard, and it just wasn't shaykh. No, you know, perhaps, I'm not 100% sure, but that might be at least a chelik of the svara. Why? Because, but also by the contractor, usually, my understanding, most contractors are capable of doing the work themselves. Maybe not every type, maybe not the electrical work, but most of the work I think they could actually do themselves if push came to shove. So it could be I am basically hiring you to do it, or get someone else to do it. If I come one day and I see instead of the the workers at the, let's say, lower paid, lower class workers, I see the guy himself doing the work, I'll be very happy. I'm very happy he's doing the work. If I come and see the principal, who's maybe not such a great second grade teacher, teaching my he's going to teach my second grader this year, I might say, oh, well, he's a great Rosh Hashiva, but I'm not sure he's going to be the second grade Rebbe. Or if I see him, he's the cook today, he's preparing lunch for the kids, I'm very happy. I love you as a Rosh Hashiva, but I don't know if you know how to make scrambled eggs the way my kid wants them. So that's part of the reason why. In any case, so that's why many of fact pick on that heter. Some of the other svaras again might apply that we said before, that you want, you need commitments. Yeah, that's basically the and as far as again, the svara of the corporation svara most likely applies. And then one more taina, or one more svara, and that is there is a din at the beginning of Hilchos Ribbis that a mosad staka, a yeshiva or a staka organization, a Torah dika mosad, is allowed to borrow money beribis derabanan. There's a heter in the beginning of Hilchos Ribbis for a mosad, nothing to do with a corporation, even if it's not incorporated, or even with Eruv Moshe's heter. Excuse me, just the fact that they're an entity that is a tzedakah entity, or an entity that's providing Torah services to the rabbim, is allowed to borrow beribis derabanan. So that's what's happening here. They're the borrower, right? If I prepay the school, they're borrowing the money from me. At word, if it's in the Saribas, that would be the Isser. They're borrowing the money from me because I'm paying them before I get into services. So that's another tzad heter by these places. Let's say another case. Let's say you want to hire a musician for your child's chasana or bar mitzvah, whatever. So a musician is a poel. He's not a kablan because you're hiring him to be there for whatever the date is, whatever the hours are. You don't just want him to come and play music any time. Or say, okay, I play 3 hours of music, pay me. No, he has to be there at the date, at the time. So he's a poel. And again, for a poel, we said it doesn't help even if you sign a contract. That's not good enough. You wouldn't have haskalas malacha. And that you very likely don't have. Even if it's like a one-man, you're hiring a one-man band. So it's not a question of hiring other workers, but there's nothing, he's not really doing anything right now. He has to show up at the day of the time of the chasn. He has to show up and do the work. So those svaras don't apply. So what they say, you could get a small discount just to lock it in, to make sure that he wants to lock you in. He wants to make sure that he has a job for that day. So a small discount, but not more than a small discount, they say would not. There's very, very little to justify, in that particular case. One more case is what about buying a bus ticket? Like you have it there to Israel, you get on the bus and you buy a ticket with 20 slots, 20 punches, and you can take 20 rides, and you get it cheaper than if you pay each time. So that thing the Sfarim say is mutter to do. First of all, if it's mamish, I'm sorry.
You can say the same thing with the subscription.
Wait, I didn't say what the reason is.
Why? Right?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you mean okay? That might be. Yeah, that's one of the Sfarim, right? Okay, fine. Yeah.
But they have the bus. They already have it.
Right, meaning you're saying I could take all 20 rides right now.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So if it's a, exactly, you're correct. If it's a ticket that has, that you punch out, you could use it theoretically, I could use them all right now. So the service, okay, and a chanami. That's another story why they say that is mutter. But what about a monthly pass? It's good for the month of Shvat. So I can't use it on Beis Shvat, on Aleph Shvat, or in Teves. I buy it in Teves. I can't use it in Shvat in Teves because it's not Shvat now. Or even if it's Shvat, but it's not. I bought it. That's good for Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dal. They're not here yet, so that's not really close. Tomorrow's ride is not Yeshlo, but they still say that that's mutter. That is mutter because it's well worth it for them. They much rather sell passes than every time you get on the bus. It takes time, then it takes time and tircha for the driver. The driver would much prefer, and the company much prefer, that the more people that buy in advance or buy once, even once at one out of every 20 trips, they're buying a ticket rather than one every single trip. It makes, you know, everything goes smoother. The ride goes smoother. It saves time and everything else. So they're giving a discount. They want people to do that just to make their buses more smoothly. Okay, so the bottom line should walk away with, though, part of what you should walk away with, besides hopefully a lot of the, is that whenever it is a shiloh of this, you really have to make sure that there's a good head to, like, let's say somebody is a photographer and they take family portraits and you say, you know, buy in advance and pay now and you get the right, you get a cheaper rate. So you have to think is what hetera might apply there. That person would be most likely a kablan because right, there's no set hours there. So if it's a kablan, but there's probably no eschalas malacha there, not doing anything now. So you would need a kinyan. One had to, they would to make actually make a kinyan with them that they can't be chozer. If you just words, they could be chozer. But if you make a kinyan, they can't be chozer. So any time it comes to prepaying, you have to think if these heterim apply, which heterim apply, and then you know, might pay to ask a shayla to make sure that. You got all the cheshbon straight. Okay.
Thank you very much. By the bus, the pass.
Yes.
If the city's doing it for the sake of the people to give the commuters a discount, I mean they're probably not doing it for themselves.
Yeah, they would make you pay like a little, like a lot less sometimes. Like if you pay like now, like a lot.
Right. So camp would have to. Or Eliashus would apply that. You know, that they're a couple on him to.
Well, they're not doing anything now. They're doing
well, so it's not so much. They're not very likely, very possible. They are. They might be looking to cancel.
They can't.
Nothing that looking.
They like now.
Not even
school,
hiring counselors.
Right.
Or anything.
My plan, they have a school there right now.
No, but they might be doing work behind the scenes, like looking for counselors, looking for hiring counselors, looking for supplies, looking through arts and crafts. Okay, so that might. Okay, but that's a tzad hit. But not everyone accepts that. That would be if they're incorporated. If the amount they're giving you would be make sense that they're doing just to lock you in.
But
theoretically, you say, look, I don't want you to just cash my check yet. Like, hold on to my check and cash it. Theoretically, they might not agree just again because of bookkeeping reasons, but if, theoretically, it's like, we don't need your money. We can hold your money. Theoretically, we can hold on to it. We just want to commit you. Then
they can tell us that's the whole point. Why else would they want you to sign up?
Well,
Thank you.